Welcome back to the show. You're still tuned into Impact 103 with myself, Zintle. And I'm very excited once again to welcome our guest in studio. I told you she's going to be joining me for a Stoop Session series that I'm really, really excited. If there's one thing you must know about Elise Marie, she's so good at teaching and breaking down the word and concepts that you find in the word, and you end up learning so much. I love people who take, you know, sometimes things that seem complicated and bring it to a level that anyone and everyone can understand, which is beautiful. And that's how the word is supposed to be taught at the end of the day, right? Elise Marie, welcome back.
Zintle, hello. It's lovely to be back. Thank you for having me.
It's always good to have you. So over the past couple of months, you know, at some point you were here and we were talking about Mary.
Exactly.
And stewarding your heart through the different seasons of life.
Exactly.
And you came back again at some point. We were talking about
Jairus.
Jairus, which is such a beautiful topic, right?
Yeah, like a roller coaster day, up and down. And how Jesus helped him through it, and how it ended well for him.
We also had a conversation about Lazarus.
exactly.
Who are we speaking about today?
Oh man, this man is one of my favorites, and that's Peter. We're just gonna look, Zintle, about moments that he experienced that caused him stress and anxiety, and how he responded to that. Because please, Zinsley, I think we can all relate to moments where we were either just very stressed or we were afraid. And I think there's three moments in Peter's life where he responds in a very specific way.
Yeah.
And then Jesus responds to how he responded. And I just want, over the next 3 weeks, just look at each of those events, and see how can we learn from this man, Peter. Because, I mean, he's a well-known character in the Bible. He's an influential man. Mm. He was eventually probably the leader of the apostles after Jesus' resurrection. So I think he's an influential man, but he didn't necessarily start so well initially. And can I just admit, I'm so grateful for those stories because, you know, it helps me to relate when I see other people fail. And yet Jesus so graciously still loves them and stewards them through those failures.
Yeah, so it says there's hope even for us, because sometimes at some point we are the Peters, right?
Exactly.
So let's go straight into the first scenario that we're going to talking about.
Yes.
Today.
So the first event is in Matthew 16, and it's just to give the context, Jesus has just spoken profound identity over Peter, and he has commissioned Peter. So Peter is pretty much the man, you know. He's just heard from Jesus that he is a son of Jesus, and that he is carrying the keys of the kingdom. And he basically hears from Jesus that he's had revelation from heaven, you know. So Peter is the man. And then the next moment, Jesus then starts talking about his suffering and death that is coming. Now, you've got to understand the context here. So Peter has been waiting with all the Jews for the Messiah. And this previous moment is where he discovered Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one that's going to set the Jews free. He's the one that's going to break the control of the Roman Empire. He's going to be their king. Yay! You know, at last he's here. And now suddenly Jesus is talking about, you know, suffering and being killed. And I think what happens in that moment in Peter's heart is, on the one hand, he's like, remember, I'm the guy who gets revelation from heaven, right? You know, I'm the guy. And on the other hand, I think his heart is profoundly afraid. He's like, no, we need a savior. We need a Messiah. We need a king. And Jesus, you're talking in ways that is contrary to that. So in Matthew 16, we see that Peter responds by rebuking Jesus. Now, certainly, that's a brave man that rebukes Jesus, right? Because he literally pulls him aside and this is my, you know, my language. He basically says, no, Jesus, that's not going to be happening. Yeah. You know, we're going to make sure that doesn't happen. Please stop talking like that. Mm. And I want to, when I read that, I so want to ask, my goodness, what drives a man to rebuke the Son of God? And I actually just want to say, I think we need to see what is the core emotion that's driving this response from Peter. And it's fear, Zintle. Mm. This man is actually very afraid that the thing that he's been hoping for, it looks like it's not going to happen. So out of fear, he responds in, you know how they talk about the fight or flight response? Yeah. I think Peter is responding in the fight response. He goes like, no, 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 I'm going to make sure this does not happen. Mm-hmm. The Jesus dying, the Jesus not becoming king part, no, 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 I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen. And I think we need to be able to ask ourselves, can we relate to that? And I can absolutely relate to that. There's moments where, you know, circumstances around me, whether it's in my family, whether it's in our finances or in relationships where things are not happening. And my fear actually makes me go into this fight response, you know, like, sure. I'm going to fix the situation. Yeah. I'm going to make sure this happens the way I have in my mind that this is happening. So I think we should have grace with this man. Because we can relate that there's been times where we've responded with words, you know, where you've spoken to your child or your spouse or your colleague, like, no, no, don't do that, you know, or do that. Because actually we're just afraid, Cynthia. We're just afraid because of what's going on. And this is the first thing I think we see Peter failing at. When he's afraid, he moves into this fight mode of, and the response is he rebukes Jesus.
And sometimes that's what we're taught as Christians, isn't it? Like, where it's just like, you know, what if we see something's going to go a certain way, it's like, no, no, in the name of Jesus, that's not going to happen. It will not be.
Yeah, because remember, there's also this element of Peter, like, I'm speaking on behalf of the disciples, right? I will be the leader that says, this, on my watch, this will not happen. You know?
It just shows how human he actually is.
Yeah.
And then, so when we come back now, let's talk about how Jesus then responds to the response of Peter. Welcome back to the Daytime Break right here on Impact 103. I'm still chilling with Elise Marie Muller. And we are talking about, you know, just some of the responses that come out of us whenever we are almost overcome by fear or anxiety, right? And she's made a perfect example for us, you know, in the life of Peter, when he had an encounter with Jesus, when Jesus was telling the disciples to say, I'm going to go and die. That's something Peter didn't expect. That's something Peter, you know, probably felt overcome by anxiety when he heard Jesus, you know, say those words. And he gave a certain response. He was just like, Jesus, it's not happening. Not on my watch.
And what we said before the break was actually, we need to start asking what causes Peter to lash out like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it is fear. It's fear that sometimes makes us, you know, say things that we regret afterwards. Even though it may be religious, spiritual things, we do need to start asking ourselves what causes Peter to rebuke Jesus. What is interesting is this word rebuke can also be translated as redirecting.
Mm.
So can you see Peter's afraid of what's happening in front of him? So he attempts to redirect Jesus so that Jesus and his words align with the expectations that Peter has in his heart.
Sure.
But now let's look at how Jesus responds. And it's probably one of those passages which we're a little bit uncomfortable with, right? Because Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. And we're like, what? But Jesus actually rebukes Peter. And rebuke is a harsh word. But if we understand it in the context of Jesus is redirecting Peter's thoughts and emotions. And Jesus responds by saying to him, Peter, you have set your mind on the things of man, and you have not set your mind on the things of God. Can you see how Jesus firmly tells Peter, no, Peter, you are not going to be telling me what I should be doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to help you understand the root problem to your mistake here. And the root problem is your fear comes because you've been overwhelmed by what you see and hear around you. And Jesus is firmly but kindly telling him, learn to set your mind on the things of God, Peter, not on your own expectations.
Sure.
So Jesus responds.
No, 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 no. You are going to have to repeat that one. You are going to have to. Oh.
I think what Jesus so kindly yet firmly does is he redirects Peter to help him understand that you got it wrong here, Peter, because you were setting your mind on the things that you were expecting. And I want to teach you to set your mind on the things that God is doing. And he says to him, set your mind on the things of God. And I mean, this concept simply is repeated by other passages, Colossians 3, 2, Romans 8, 5. There's this invitation to ask us, what are you setting your mind on?
Ooh.
And I think it's so gracious of Jesus, because Jesus is really just disciplined Peter, right? Yeah. Not a pleasant experience. But Jesus doesn't leave Peter in this big lesson moment, like, remember Peter, rather focus on the things of God rather than the things of man. You know, he doesn't just leave him there.
Yeah.
Because in the exact next chapter, Matthew 17, we see Jesus inviting Peter and two others up onto the mountain. And what transpires is the passage we know as the Transfiguration. If I can just explain it in my own words, I think what Jesus is doing, he's inviting Peter to say, listen, my young friend, remember when I said to you, set your mind on the things of heaven? I am now going to show you a little bit of glory of heaven. And Peter sees Jesus being illuminated with light and glory. And it's like Jesus saying, you know what I was teaching you down there? I'm going to give you a bit of a taste of that so that you can learn not to set your expectations on what you see around you, but on what I'm exposing you to now. And that to me is just so gracious. And in every talk we're going to do in the next 2 weeks, we're going to see Jesus gives Peter a lesson, but then he gives him an opportunity to grow from that.
Oh.
And the best part from this section for me, Zintle, is, you know, enthusiastic Peter as he is, he gets like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Jesus, Moses, Elijah, glory. But I think he's learned a little bit. Instead of because his expectation is, listen, let's stay in the moment, right? This is amazing.
Yeah.
Instead of him doing what he did before, like tell Jesus what's going to happen now, or what needs to happen, we see in this beautiful little passage in Matthew 17:4, he actually says, with a lot of enthusiasm, he says, Jesus, if it is okay with you, please can we build three tents for the three of you? Which I think is progress in Peter's character, right? From the one moment he rebukes Jesus, no, listen, Jesus, this is not what's going to go to. Jesus, this is so amazing. But if it is okay with you, please can I build us three tents? Which for me is just, can we see like he failed by rebuking Jesus?
Yeah.
Jesus taught him what is the root problem. It's fear. And fear comes when we set our minds on the wrong things.
Mm.
And then Jesus gives him this opportunity to grow. And he sees the glory. And then he learns, listen, instead of me telling Jesus what to do, let me ask him.
Mm.
This is what I want to do. Is this okay with you? Is this your will? but like, let's make it practical, Zintle. Like, I think there are times where we pray about situations,
100%.
Right? Like, let's say something going on at work or in your finances or a relationship. And we very subtly, we tell Jesus,
100%.
So-and-so needs to change. Or this is what needs to happen in my finances, Lord.
Yeah.
Or this is what needs to, you know, this individual needs to realize this and make them realize this so that they change. And we're doing it under the banner of I'm praying for them, but we're actually telling God what they need to do to fix the circumstances which I'm not happy with. And please, we do need to pray about we need to be praying about our difficult situations. But I think what we need to learn from Peter here is when we operate out of fear,
100%,
what happens is we go into this fight mode. And fight mode is actually just a way of admitting I'm afraid and I'm scared that I'm going to get hurt. So fix the situation, Lord, because actually I don't want to get hurt. And I think we just need to learn from Peter here that as enthusiastic as we are for the situation that we're praying, maybe it's your child, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's a colleague, as enthusiastic as you are for God to come and do things, we need to learn to say, God, what are you doing in this situation? Let me pray in line with that rather than say, God, change person X. God, bring this situation to being. Because we don't see the bigger picture as God sees.
So our desires need to know the heart of God, the mind of God, and the will of God in the situation and pray accordingly.
Exactly. As Peter said, if it is your will, please can this happen.
Oh, so cute. I just imagine him in that moment. Elise Marie, I can't wait for the next one. I just can't wait for the next one. So same time, same place next week. Thank you so much.
Looking forward to it.